The number one resolution for people last year was to save more money, but nearly half gave up by February. Don't let that be you. Download Rocket Money to reach your financial goals this year. Track your spending, cut waste, and automate savings in one simple app. Rocket Money shows you all your expenses and categorizes them, so you know exactly where your money's going and where you're overspending. From there, the app cuts waste by canceling your unused subscriptions and lowering your bills. No customer service needed. With that money freed up, the app will automatically set some cash aside for your goals. Whether it's an emergency fund, paying off debt, or saving for vacation, Rocket Money's got you covered. Users love the app with over 186,000 five-star ratings. And on average, users can save up to $740 a year when using all the app's premium features. Make saving money a priority this year. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel to get started. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. rocketmoney.com/cancel.
It's 99.1 PLR, Fairfield County, live and local, 95.9 The Fox. I'm John Kamal, and I am joined by literally all of Residual Groove. They are all in the studio.
Not quite. We're missing one.
Who are we missing?
We're missing Miles.
We're missing Miles. Of course we're missing Miles. Miles, I'm sorry. If you hear this.
He's recovering.
He's recovering
from some tooth work.
Yeah.
Is he? That's funny, because I saw him last night. So what's he recovering from exactly?
Well,
he's had some ongoing issues, actually.
Yeah, it's been a couple months.
Oh,
it's been
was
a process.
It serious and I made a joke? Fine. All right. Whatever.
Miles,
Residual Groove, minus their fabulously talented bass players in the house. And so is Doughy Joey.
Whoa.
Hi, baby.
Joey.
How you doing?
What's up, brother?
So if you don't know about Residual Groove, they've been around for two years now? Something like that, boys?
We started hitting it pretty hard, I would say, 2020.
21.
Like 21.
I would say 21.
As soon
as
shows started again is when we started.
Is when you guys started up. Yeah, exactly. You know, I don't want to say led by a band of brothers, because I'm sure it's a very collaborative effort, but certainly founded by the two brothers who are right in front of me, Previn and Kieran.
Sure.
And now, Joey, I have questions for you, and I wanted to get right into it.
Probably don't have answers, but I'll do my best.
We're gonna try, man. So you contacted me about doing this whole thing.
Yeah.
You're so incredibly organized about getting everybody in here. You had so many thoughts and plans about how you wanted this whole thing to go. But you're not in the band. Or are you?
I do.
Or what is your role here now?
A little bit of piccolo flute, occasionally.
Much needed.
Yeah, yeah. Maybe I'll let the boys answer that one for you.
Okay. Let's see.
So, end of this summer, we kind of found ourselves without a manager. Our dear friend Catherine Conroy has been helping us out for the past year or so.
Indeed. Sister of your fabulous percussionist, Garrett, who's sitting over here in the corner.
Accurate.
Yeah.
And she did a great job, and she has found herself very busy with a new job.
Yeah.
And work is taken over. So she kind of handed off the baton to our dear friend Joey here.
So Joey is the manager of Residual Groove.
Yes, sir.
I guess that's the deal. That. Yeah,
it's pretty much official at this point. This is kind of a good way to.
It's now official.
It's
right
now
here.
Official.
You just
now
made it official.
Yeah. That's exactly. That's why I wanted you sitting in that seat for the beginning of this whole thing.
Perfect.
Yeah, dude.
The hot seat.
So that's a lot of fun. So all right, so you guys have a new single that is out right now, and I've been Kieran, you especially, I've been bugging about getting me recorded stuff forever. So tell me the name of the single. Tell me what it's all about. Give me the whole spiel.
The song is called Highway Fantasy, and it was written about 6 months ago or so. Started as a voice memo, one of my voice memos, just the riff on guitar, and then it came together very democratically in band practice. Everybody put their part into the pot. You know, we formed some new parts, got some vocals together. It was a super organic process. We're really proud that it's the first thing we're putting out. I think all of us individually, like, kind of sums up what we like to hear, what we like to play.
Yeah.
Like, just kind of touching on different parts of that and different kind of trails. It's kind of all in the song in a way.
I love that. Well, and you know, I mean, if you listen on 95.9 The Fox later on this evening after recording this, we're going to play it, but now it's just going to be in rotation Sunday nights at 9, so you can listen to Fairfield County Live and Local and hear it. But you can also stream it. Of course, it's up on all streaming platforms and stuff like that. Perfect.
First tune.
All right, man. Well, I'm excited to hear that later, but I want to talk about the band. I want to talk about how you guys came together, because I honestly, for as long as I've known all of you in this room, like, I actually don't really know the story. Kieran, I met you like a couple of years ago, and you were in a band called Chris.
Chris, I want the band, to say. Yeah, with a yeah. K. Yeah, it was my high school band. Learned a lot with those guys.
Right. And that was like initially when I kind of became aware of you, that's what I was going after. I was like, oh yeah, that kid's playing with like all of these like cool like big names and stuff like that. You were sitting in with all kinds of people. I was like, let me see what Chris is all about.
Uh-huh.
But you pretty rapidly were just like, nah, I got this thing with my brother now, and I think that's the direction
the
that we're going in.
Existed. The name existed, and even when I was in high school, it would be like, you know, one off, like whatever group of people would get together. Oh, we just call it Residual Groove for whatever gig, you know, just throw it together, kind of a collective of sorts. And when we started getting serious in like 21, like kind of after COVID started, you know, feeling a little more normal, it was still a bit of a collective vibe. You know, we would someone would drop out of a show and it would just be like chill. You know, we'd just get somebody, call someone up on bass or drums or.
It's kind of meant to be the other band.
Yes.
Like, you know, everyone's other band.
That's the vibe that I kind of got, like, at first. You know what I mean? Like, you guys were like, no, this is the other band that we do, and whoever's in it and whatever happens, it doesn't kind of really matter.
Right.
As long as you guys are both present, it's Residual Groove.
That's pretty accurate.
Yeah. Yeah.
And it's always had this kind of chill vibe in that, like, you know, we roll with the punches, we'll make whatever happen have to happen. Like, we'll just make it happen.
Yeah.
You know, gig to gig or whatever. But now that it's become more serious, I think it's kind of cool that chill element has still remained, you know. Not that it's a side project at all. Just the fact that it kind of started as one makes it a little less, like, I don't know, the stakes, not that the stakes are any less high.
Yeah.
Just feels like, it still feels like we're hanging out, you know, and we roll with the punches and whatever happens will be cool.
Grooving. He's grooving.
Yeah. He's grooving. Right. Where did the name come from, actually?
Oh. I think it was just I remember posting on Facebook.
I remember that post.
You remember that? I was like, is Residual Funk a good name for a band on Facebook? And
everyone you crowdsourced
was like,
it.
People were like, no. They were like, no, that's not good. And it was like straight up no. There was no explanation in the replies and stuff. It was funny.
Yeah.
But then, maybe along
I thought
the
post was that it was, is Residual Groove a good band name?
No, the post is still up.
Oh, it's
so
still
you guys can go look at the proof. I think it says Residual Groove.
You should, go back and screenshot it and put that up on your social media.
But I guess somewhere along the line, it just became that groove could be a cooler word than funk in that position.
Yeah.
And Residual, I don't know why it was Residual, but... just is, you know, the groove resides,
right,
as we
right.
say. I don't know if it makes much sense, but I just believe it does, and it does.
I felt it when you said it, so it works.
No, you know what that's like? That's like the Big Lebowski. That's like the dude abides. That's what it is. It even phonetically fits over the exact.
The groove resides.
It's funny, though, because residual obviously doesn't really mean to reside somewhere. It's like leftover.
Right,
it's like, you know, the scraps are like what's left.
Well,
you know?
It makes sense because it was the eternal side project.
Yeah,
in
right?
a way, yeah,
it's the residual.
It formed its own truth in a way.
Yeah,
tell me about the sound of the band. What's the band sound like for someone who's never listened to them before?
We're kind of a rock band.
Yeah,
I like we've.
But
kind
that
of,
kind of that's a heavy kind of.
It's
that's
a heavy
a weighted
kind of. It's a heavy
kind
of. We found ourselves kind of just gearing towards there. I mean, back when we first when we were a collective, we were doing a lot of. We were like covering the Dead a lot, and covering
the Beatles,
the Stones.
Honestly, stuff we heard on 95.9, 99.1,
it's
amazing to be on this right now, just having come up listening to all that music from those stations. So thank you again, John.
Yeah, dude. Yeah. Absolutely.
Yeah.
All right. So I mean, you know, let's get some more of this lineup in here too, because I want to talk about how everyone kind of came together. Because you guys, I mean, you guys. This has just always been when you guys play together, it's Residual Groove, correct? Would that
That's
be?
The way it started. Yeah.
That's the
right. Sometimes we'll play acoustic duo, call it like Resi Duo or something.
Okay, Right. All right, but let's get, you know what, Henry, come on in here, man. Let's talk to the drummer.
The drummer.
Let's talk to the man with the heavy foot and the heavy
foot. The drummer.
Heavy foot.
And let's get him in here. Henry, welcome. Say hello to the people. Let's sound check you. Let's see how you sound here.
Sure, first.
The hot seat.
What's up, everybody?
He's a markedly larger man than Doughy Jones. So you gotta watch out when we're sitting down here. But yeah, how did you get into the band, dude? How did you become a part of this project?
Well, you know,
just a couple of gigs these guys hit me up for in the beginning, like they said, like 2021, the year. Yeah, there were a couple of gigs where some drummers just dropped out or for whatever reason they needed a drummer, and I started playing with them. It was just sick, you know?
Yeah. How did you know these guys? Like, where did that relationship start?
Gipper's gig.
It was the Gipper's gig.
Yeah. Tell
That's
me about
I
the Gipper's
the
gig.
First time. I was like 16.
In this very town.
Oh, yeah. In
Milford.
In Milford. Yeah. Wow. Oh, right on. Where?
Where is Gipper's? It's a bar.
Yeah, it's like, right off of exit 40 in Milford.
It's the Dive.
Okay.
It's the Dive, I think.
It's a vibe for sure.
So were you guys both on the gig, like separate bands were on the gig, and you guys just ended up playing together?
Chris, the band from, my high school band was on the gig with his band, Uncle Moose, and we love those guys.
That's a great name.
Individually.
It's a phenomenal name.
Yeah.
Thank you. I wish I came up with it.
Garrett's dying over here. Garrett's dying over here. But yeah, so Dig, all right, so how long, Henry, have you been playing with these guys for now at this point?
Well, with Residual Groove since 2021, so it's like a couple years now, 2 years?
Yeah, early 2022 is kind of solidified. Right, yeah, man. I mean, I would see him at when we were playing at Dunville's. Shout out to Dunville's and Carp. I would see him in the crowd, just like kind of standing there and like itching to play.
Yeah.
He would sit in too.
He'd sit in every now and then. We'd just be like, oh, like Henry, yeah, get up here. And every time he came up, it was just like electric.
So locked, like tight, like everybody was hitting the notes right at the same time.
Yeah.
Responding. He's got such a great ear and.
Yeah,
we're all just interacting. And
well, what I love about having you in the band is that, like, you know, I mean, you guys get pretty spacey. There's definitely a psychedelic, like, you know, aspect to your music, and you can, with the wrong drummer, can get kind of lost in the sauce, you know, for a little while there. Like Henry, you have such a presence on stage. Like you play heavy, you play loud, you have great dynamic control. I'm not trying to say that you don't, but you know what I mean. It really helps to have that kind of just as you know, that's the sturdy foundation that you can then. Build and like paint a lot of the crazy shit that you guys do.
Yeah.
He's
driving
on top of that.
The foundation of every band is the drums and the bass. Yeah. Like it cannot be ignored, but it's often forgotten.
Right.
Yeah.
I say that a lot.
Like if you don't have a good drummer, you don't have a good band.
Yeah. No, that's what I mean. Isn't that 100% the truth though? Yeah. That's 100% the
it's
truth.
Always...
I would also say bass player too.
Oh yeah.
Bad
definitely.
Bass can ruin anything.
Oh yeah.
It's tough.
It's your foundation. It's like anything with any instrument you play without like a foundation that's like gonna support what else is like above it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's just
I think it was like
good.
Victor Wooten who said like you like walk into like a sick like skyscraper and like no one's thinking about like how solid the foundation is. They're talking about like the cool wall design and the cool like penthouse and stuff, you know? But no one really comments on the foundation and, you know, the thing that's holding everything up.
Right,
you know?
Right.
It's goes a long way.
So you guys mentioned that Dunville's gig, too. Let's talk about that for a second, because I feel like that was a huge part of you guys' like growth and getting out to a new audience and, you know, like obviously just putting in the stage time, too.
Yeah.
How did that? So Dunville's, for people who don't know, Westport, great bar in Westport, right off exit 17.
Great food, too.
Yep. Yeah. Great food too, exactly. Oh, yeah. And what's the owner's name?
Steve. Carpentieri.
Carpentieri, yeah.
Bit of a name.
Carpentieri.
We call him Carpy though.
Yeah.
Carpy.
People know him as Carpy.
Very good. Who's always been so good to me every time that I've come into that bar too. So shout out to you, Steve.
Yeah.
Thank you for
that. Yeah.
But okay, so how did that setup get started? Because you guys had a like perpetual residency there on Monday or Tuesday night?
Tuesdays.
It was Tuesday.
Never miss a Tuesday show, they used to say.
Tuesdays. Yeah. Never miss a Tuesday show. And it was months and months and months you guys did this.
We did it for a year.
Maybe
a week. Was it
that long?
Every week.
Yeah.
It was the grind of grinds. There was no PA there. We had to lug in the PA and lights. Our Andy Kittle, shout out to Andy Kittle on lights. He like joined us there, and we wouldn't know Andy without Joey, of course.
Yeah,
without Joey. But we all, you know, the residency thing was an amazing way to build up multiple parts of the whole thing.
That's
you know,
where
the,
we got tight.
The production, the songs.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
The crowd.
Our kind of stage banter and stuff.
Yeah.
We all kind of formed there and just our interaction with the crowd and little isms that we do during our jams and stuff.
Yeah, the spontaneity is like
because
we were allowed that to start where we kind of did that residency, you know, like we just have this approach to things because how we molded the sound was, you know, surrounded by so much freedom there.
Right. Yeah. Well, I mean, tell me about that project, because, like, Henry, you just said that's where you guys got tight. Like, as something that was such a kind of a community, like, band and a community thing, like, with lots of different people coming in, tell me about that process of going from, you know, just a bunch of different sit-ins to, like, okay, this is an established lineup and we're feeling really locked in. I mean, does it feel different on stage? It must. Right?
Definitely.
Yeah.
I mean, it kind of sorted itself out. Really,
having Henry join was a huge defining moment.
Yeah.
Having Miles join, huge defining moment. I would say, like, the people who are supporting us have been a huge effect on our inclination to grow, you know? Like, they would come out consistently week after week, even when we were still kind of a loose band with people switching in and out.
Yeah.
And that's when we kind of realized, you know, we'd kind of have a good thing and people are, like, clinging and happy to keep seeing us and trust us, so let's lock it down, you know?
It felt like our space that we were inviting everyone into, and they were really along for the ride, so it kind of spurred us to experiment more at the shows and really, like, it allowed us to take more risks.
Well, and it was, too. It was your space, and it was, like, it was the thing to go to on Tuesday. And, of course, I mean, like me, like, I wake up at 4 o'clock in the morning, so I went to, I think, 3 of those over the course of, you know.
You made your presence known.
Yeah. I tried to.
We had some cool events.
Yes,
yeah,
we threw down.
We've had some good ones. Yeah. We've had some good ones. I wish I'd been able to go to more Dunvilles. But now, hold on. So we brought up the joining of Miles. We brought up the joining of Henry, of course. And, you know, there's somebody that we haven't gotten to yet, which is the man himself, G-Hall. I don't know who wants to swap out, but if we can swap G-Hall in for a hot second, I would love to get you in here. Maybe take, yeah? You're going to take seat 3? All right, let's do it. Do the tag. Do the tag in, tag out.
We met in a funny way, actually.
Well, yeah, and Garrett and I have known each other for like 15 years, so this is...
John, you were there the night we met, actually.
I was there, really?
We all played music together that
okay,
night.
Okay, so hold on. So, I mean, you know, Garrett Halstead, G-Hall, come up on that thing a little bit. Garrett Halstead, percussionist for Residual Groove. So, okay, tell me about the night you guys met. And apparently I was there, and I have no memory of this, so let's go. Let's dig into this.
On the roof?
On the roof.
Yeah, I think that was it.
Yeah, it was a restaurant called Social House.
Yeah, Black Rock Social. Oh, wait, was this Porch Fest?
No, this was the Halloween show on the roof.
The Halloween show.
The drag,
yeah, so
the drag queens.
Follow-up roof show. Yeah.
Yeah.
We co-build with Residual Groove.
Yes.
Swamp Hogs.
The Swamp Hogs, my band at the time.
That's right.
Kind of legendary black rock band.
Classic.
So legendary.
Icons.
You know, locally.
Swamp Hogs.
I miss that.
And I remember we played on the roof because we always had these, like, crazy ideas that we'd float and somehow
that was your guys' idea.
Yeah, yeah. Nobody played on the roof before that.
Yeah, no, and that's a Swamp Hog idea.
Yeah,
too.
That makes total sense.
Yeah, we got a lot of shock value for the things that we did.
That's right. That's right.
You really squeezed the shock value out of a lot of them.
You've got to, man. Kieran, was that the first time you and I played together? I feel like
I think so.
Yeah, I remember.
We played I Know You Rider, like some classic stuff.
We did I Know You Rider, that's right. I hated that so much, too.
It was cold.
It was cold.
I remember seeing my breath.
Yeah.
It was Halloween.
It was Halloween. Yeah, it was Halloween.
It was the 30th, maybe.
Yeah, right around
something like that.
Well, I mean, Garrett, you and I were having a drink the other day, and as we were having this conversation, I was like, God, this would be a great thing to talk about on the podcast. It was like, for me, that fall was, that was a very big fall for a lot of personal reasons that I'm not going to get into right now, but like that was a crazy fall. That was me moving back to, moving back to Black Rock after having been like gone for a little while.
Yeah.
And having started, you know, a new career, this career, which kind of took over like me, my whole like musician thing that I used to do back in the day. Garrett, you and I were talking about the other day how there's like a weird little changing of the guard in like the Connecticut music scene, particularly Black Rock, that you and I were like a part of in our early 20s.
Yeah.
And it was talking to Kieran. Kieran, you came up to me, you're like, oh, you're fucking, you're like, I know you, like, John Kamal, you should sit in on this song. You should play. I want to play with you. I want to see what you're all about.
Is that what I did?
You did.
That's what went down?
You did.
I love that.
And you were like friendly about it, but there was also just a like, you know, what's up? You fucking gray haired, you know, whoever the hell you are, let's go. Like, let's see.
That's
let's
awesome.
See. Let's see what these guys are talking about.
I
remember we did Rider, and I was on Catfish's rig, and I just fucking tanked it. I just like went in the toilet so quickly, and I was like, no, fuck. These new young guys are like here, and I'm supposed to like be able to play. I'm not doing it.
I don't remember that,
But
I guess. Yeah, I know. Yeah, yeah. Don't. Yeah, Joey remembers that. Joey remembers that. The people in the audience. What? Tell me about what it's like, because you know, like you and I have played together for years and years. Like, mm-hmm. what's it like coming in with a band? I mean, you guys aren't dramatically younger than me and Garrett are, but like, you know, like it's you know, what's it like coming in with like kind of a new group of musicians? And how is it different from like when we first started playing in the Black Rock area, like 10, 15 years ago?
I think it's cool. I'm grateful to have the perspective I have.
Yeah.
You know, kind of to peer into both worlds a little bit. I think this generation of bands and musicians coming up, you know, I definitely feel fortunate to share the stage with some of them, including, you know, including the bands, obviously. But, yeah. I think everyone is, there's just this infectious mindset right now that everyone is kind of helping each other and really, you know, giving each other a hand up, you know, band to band, musician to musician. You know,
yeah.
If you ever are at Roadrunner, it's always some kind of concoction of people playing, and it's all really good. I mean, I'm biased, but
yeah, no, but it is
all really good.
I kind of know. I
like
I
every
kinda...
random combination is like this little supergroup, and it's really cool.
Well, the bands are less static now, I feel like, than they used to be. I feel like back in the day,
it's
like
quite incestuous.
No
right,
one's locked in.
It was like this was this band, and like this was, you know, this group of guys, and you would play shows together, but you rarely would cross-pollinate.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Did we both say cross-pollinate? Yeah. Just now, that's hysterical.
It's good. That's good.
But yeah, it's fun, and I don't know. I mean, you know, we could sit here and just make up a bunch of bullshit about why that is and generational differences and all of that. But I don't know why do you think that is?
It's really hard. To
everyone's really good too.
Yeah,
like I remember a lot of bands.
I think it's like I just want to play with you, and to everyone.
Yeah,
like, I just like want to be in a room playing, and then you get in a room and it's like electric, and then you realize, let's just do this. Let's play a show.
Yeah.
And then that's how a million bands get formed.
And honestly, like my first experience with that was those early days at Dunny's, when like we would just have, it's like every week was like a different episode. We're like, oh, who's, you know, we got Will Early this week, you know?
Yeah.
It's
yeah.
Like,
yeah.
Oh, it's
Darian.
Like, oh, Darian.
I met Darian there.
You know, Drew Angus. Like every, yeah. And it was like a different feature episode. And then like it started just becoming a machine where people were DMing Kieran, you know, just to like
to
people,
come hang
people who we know well now, but not really at the time.
Yeah, Beamond and Donnie.
Yeah.
It was packed every single Tuesday, and there would be people showing up. Like Beamond was there. I saw like you know I saw Peter from Goose show up
that
a couple
awesome.
Of times. Like I said, like you know, it was just a little who's who of the Connecticut music scene.
Yeah,
super cool. And I just think that that's like really baked into the sound and the vibe of you know just what's going on in the neighborhood right now and musically. So it's just, I don't know. It's been really cool to be a part of. I definitely feel blessed to be with these boys.
Yeah.
But, it's interesting.
Yeah. 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 Well, I was going to say, how do you even just working within the band? Like, cause you're playing percussion.
Mm-hmm.
You and I have played in a bunch of projects where you're like the main drummer. How is that different? Describe that difference of like, of playing like percussion as opposed to being the main kit drummer.
It's a little different. I really enjoy playing with Henry. I feel like he leaves a lot of space for a second mm-hmm. percussionist drummer. Like, you know, you were saying before, he plays really hard. He plays very intentionally. But where he leaves space is, I think is really important to our dynamic as a duo.
Yeah.
But I've definitely become more obsessed with it since joining this band. You know, my bank account kind of testament to
yeah,
that.
No, yeah, just buying so much weird, random
yeah,
weird.
Oh,
drum
my,
gear.
My studio right
chimes.
Now is percussion world. Yeah. Just,
we appreciate your financial sacrifices.
That's right.
It sounds great.
That's right.
Sounds
as soon as
great.
The pegboard thing starts, I have a pegboard where I just mount all of my different you know percussion toys. It's just been it's
what's
been
the favorite
ride.
One right now? What's your favorite guy?
Ooh, the favorite? I mean, I love all the actual drums, you know, the girls are always
the girls. They have names. Tell me they have fucking names. They have to have names.
Yeah, but I'd have to consult with them before I shared.
We're not going to share.
They're very private people.
Information. Yeah.
Private beings.
That's ridiculous. I love that.
It's kind of like not quite FRPA, but like you know that kind of same.
Yeah. Oh, that's cool. All right, well, hold on. I want to talk about the future of the band and where you guys are going, but I want to get your fucking manager back in here to do that. Joey, can you come in here and jump
Joseph.
On a mic? Could you do that for me, Joseph? Joseph.
How do you follow that?
Yeah,
right.
That's good.
I know.
He laid it down.
Voice, I mean, he's a very good-looking man. You see those eyes? It was like the first time I heard the Beatles.
They're blinding.
Raise my chair a couple
stole
inches
that line
here.
From what,
so
Superbad?
You know.
What's that from? I think it's Superbad. anyway, all right. So tell me about what's next for Resi. Actually, Doughy specifically, what is your vision? You're the manager, dude. Give me your, you know.
Did you have
to interview for the position? What was your 5-year plan?
I, like many of the musicians they were just describing at Dunville's, kind of just became a part of that and kept showing up and you know, and
you would spin too.
I would DJ, but even like things like moving the cars before the show so more cars could come into the venue and our band cars not be there so they could worry about loading. Like that was my first, like in my mind, that was like me shooting my shot. I was like, check me out. I can do this for you guys, you know.
And start at the gopher level and build your way up.
Yeah, you got to do it all. Man. And I mean, these guys have their own vision and they know what they want to do. I'm just here to help them in any way that I can. I've taken on a new job at Park City, working on Park City Music Hall.
Park City Music Hall, Bridgeport,
Connecticut. Doing a lot of the, you know, some booking there and working on some promotional stuff in the creative end. So I'd like to, you know, help them any way that I can with that. I kind of have like a vague fantasy that I see with these guys.
Go.
Like a highway fantasy.
Gimme. I want it.
No, that's it. That's the joke. It's the single name.
Right.
Check it out now on Spotify.
Damn it. I stepped right into that one. Seriously, though, what do you see? What's your battle plan for these guys?
We've done things in the past as like two separate pieces where we've been on the road together and done shows and got Airbnbs and did festivals together and rented U-Hauls with gear. So, I mean, I just want more of that in my life every day, music and being around musicians and getting to participate in any way. We got Andrew Kittle on lights, too, so it's kind of like a big family thing. As you can see here, we rolled deep to visit you.
You did.
So
that's true.
I like that kind of energy, and these guys are all great individuals and great as a collective, so I want to share them and their music with as many people as possible.
Killer.
Yeah.
Album. What's going on with the album? You got the single. Is the album next?
Album is coming.
Sounds good.
Yeah.
Sounds pretty good.
Yeah, we're really excited about it.
It's phenomenal.
It's varied.
It's varied.
It's there's a lot of different sounds.
There's sounds on the album, you say.
They didn't share any of the new music with me until after we agreed that I'd be the manager.
Sure.
So I was kind of like listening to it. I was like, oh, I probably should have listened to this first. No,
right.
I'm kidding.
Vetted it
a little bit.
Well, no, what Joey's really saying is that like they didn't share anything with me until the manager. So if you think the fucking random radio guy is going to get any details on this, you can get the hell out of here.
Good luck. I hope you brought a crowbar.
Cracking that case open.
But once I heard the single, I was, you know, not that I was worried about the quality of it, but it's amazing.
Yeah,
so
man.
It's super cool to get to, you know, pump that out. And I haven't even heard any more of the album. So, yeah, go ahead.
I think when people hear the whole thing, they'll agree that that first single was the one to put out first. Because it's all very, everything supports everything else. But, you know, it's nice to have one solid middle ground. I feel like that song kind of has that.
That song kind of centers it. But you know, there's a lot of different textures, and like you know, there's a kind of Jack Johnson-y acoustic-y track that kind of ends up as something else. There's some more ballady stuff.
We love great songwriters and catchy tunes. So it's you know, we love to jam, of course, but you know, we love a good catchy lyric or
hooks,
melody
man.
Too.
Yeah.
Yeah,
you gotta have songs.
Yeah, that's what we came up
with. You gotta have songs, 100%. Highway Fantasy, Residual Groove, it's streaming everywhere right now. You can find it on Apple, Spotify, all of the exciting things. Bandcamp's still a thing. I feel like they got shut down recently.
Oh, yeah. They got up there and everything.
Yeah, we're going to toss it on Bandcamp today.
Good.
It didn't come with everything else. It didn't get funneled in there, but we're going to make sure.
But but all of Residual Groove and company, minus Miles.
We miss you, Miles.
Thank you guys for coming out today. This is fun. We have more exciting things to do in a minute, but I'm going to wrap this up here. Thank you guys for coming.
Thanks so much, John.
Finding a hoodie that lasts through the season can be tough. The American Giant Classic Full Zip Hoodie is made to last a lifetime, so you can count on it year after year. The iconic Classic Full Zip Hoodie is the jacket that started it all for American Giant. Custom heavyweight fleece and side panels for mobility make it the best hoodie ever. Every American Giant piece is made in America and designed to last. No exceptions. The result is durable clothing, like the premium Slub Crew Tee, no BS high-rise pant, and slim roughneck pant that become part of your life. Snag the hoodie that will bring you comfort for life. The American Giant Classic Full Zip. Save 20% off your first order at American-Giant.com when you use code STAPLE20 at checkout.
Finding a hoodie that lasts through the season can be tough. The American Giant Classic Full Zip Hoodie is made to last a lifetime, so you can count on it year after year. Every American Giant piece is made in America and designed to last. No exceptions. The result is durable clothing that becomes part of your life. Snag the hoodie that will bring you comfort for life. The American Giant Classic Full Zip. Save 20% off your first order at American-Giant.com when you use STAPLE20 at checkout.